Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, Killer Freak.
Peace. What's up, man?
I'm chilling, baby. Yo, I want to know what's going on ever since that baby was trusting before leaving Earth. I want to know what you're going to do for us right now. It's been a while, baby.
Chilling,
you waiting.
I've been chilling. I'm in the lab writing stuff. So I just been on my sound some guns, shootouts, crack cells, black males and packed jails, trapped in hell, no peace, cold streets, surrounded by police this whole week, buildings with no heat, no lights, a gas pipe, and slow leaks, dog fights and low life, throw dice the whole night, thieves, creeping in the midnight evenings, we saw through the misty regions, go be house, take a bow for the demons, moonlit, the lunar eclipse, prophet stands in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I can't take it. Beauty that was once sacred is now getting faceless. Fake tits and fake lips. Colon braces. Memory erases from the slave ship. My princess. I used to spot her from a distance. Holding my infant. Burning incense. The moment intent for her to step into my white tent. Now we step in precincts. For your ebony prince, the smell of frankincense. Once treated like a pharaoh, with royal apparel, anointed with myrrh and aloes. We used to wallow amongst the mallows. We had herds, sheep, and cattle. Now we battle. Used to pass over Brooklyn, Kedron, the towers of Lebanon, the pool of Geshron. We used to sing songs upon Mount Hebron. How's gold turned to bronze? How was gold turned to bronze? We was the wisest and the richest. Now we turn to snitches. Women turn to bitches. In the time of harvest, we was the smartest. Worship wisdom like the goddess. Now we act retarded. We forsook the wisdom of the fathers. We used to have a thousand flagons of wine. In Palestine, now we drink Valentine. And rage up in the violent mind. We used to have 100 measures of oil, 80 measures of wheat and barley. We lived garly, listening to Bob Marley. Before the devils robbed me, chasing us through the African safari. From then to now, what goes up must come down. What goes down comes back around again. Where it all began. From then to now, what goes up must come down. What goes down comes back around again. Where it all began. Down. Singing a holy anthem, lamping with all my handsome grandsons. Hair long as Samson, inside my gold mansion. They used to wear purple Pampers, but now we Black Panthers. Some are actors and dancers. It's funny how the dollar bill had my seeds hollow for mill. Mother swallow a pill, rose seems hollow but still. Grab a bottle of the hill, it's like the hoops of Seven Seal over Brownville. What's the difference between the ghetto with death row? I'm trapped up with kleptos and tech blow. I'm left with Cephalo, where the cries echo and echo and echo and echo. From the Crystal City, they're giddy. Children used to roll on lilies, now they roll up fillies. But the pyramids of the Cheops is my weak spot. Sometimes I eavesdrop in the books of Enoch. We went from studying the pistols of Paul beneath a waterfall, rubbing crystal balls. But now we spray paint our initials on the wall, on the wall. Then to now, what goes up must come down. What goes down comes back around again. Where it all began. What goes up must come down. What comes down comes back around again. Where it all began.
To find me. You was talking nonsense about how you want to skip to the top and battle him right away, and I gotta say, for somebody that rap about prison so much, you think you know when you're behind bars and can never see the light of day, but hey, maybe it's that white privilege that got you feeling you different. That's why you rap about prison, but I don't think you know shit about it. I mean, you out rapping about prison. I got brothers in prison rapping about getting out of it. I see your brain clouded with that same European thunderstorm that rained on my continent. Put my ancestors through pain, put them in chains, made them slaves, but then claimed you abolished it. No reparations, just situations for black athletes to obtain scholarships, y'all. Put them out of college quick, we get to the league, play a couple of seasons, and come right back to what we started. So what makes you think you're a part of this? Who gave you some How to Be Black starter kit? I mean, they whitewashed black history. It's only right that a black out and wash this white boy to reauthor it. I put my heart in this. I do this for the single black mothers that put up all of it just to post the bill. Look, they know their sons get all of it, but shit, they're not supposed to tell.
Why?
You a white male in America. That's heaven. You ain't come close to hell. You're just another comedian when depending upon your audience determines what kind of jokes you tell.
Oh.
Well, here's where we face the facts. You're just another racist cat. It's plain as that. I mean, you came in a room full of niggas and figured you could rap about prison because they relate to that.
Oh.
How do I take that slap? How do I take that slap? Right in the face. That's how we got our history took. And don't tell me this ain't about race. You're from Texas, the same state that's trying to eradicate slavery from the history book.
Oh!
I got invisibly shook. This nigga phony as hell like a tail. You said the woodchucks checked you? Well, I know the blacks didn't respect you. I know the Mexicans wouldn't protect you. You must have been lonely as hell in that cell. No, strip, you too frail. Put it with the jail tails. Trying to score points with us because you was in a box. We'll get stopped. We get shot by the cops, that's very different. I mean, the judge won't even let my team push the point across. We can't catch a break. We have the other side of the court cherry picking. What you know about that, Kerry Strickland? All my brothers, come on, y'all. What you know about that, Kerry Strickland? All my brothers got a Kerry Strickland. Not because we plotting and creeping, but because we never know when the popo gonna try to get us buried, Strickland. See, between us, it's a blaring difference. It's scary, Strickland. I mean, you inherited wealth from that slave trade and crop sharing, Strickland, but we hold the weight on our shoulders just trying to carry Strickland. That's why I'm coming out the box with twin cannons. I'm Mariah Carey, Strickland. I dare he's spitting about prison. I got brothers doing 20-plus years for non-violent offenses. You probably got a couple cousins in there convicted of raping their sisters doing it 6 months ago. Cause you rap like if you live a black life. Like you get pulled over, tap tap at the window, flashlight, all you niggas get out the vehicle. You fit the description of a suspect that committed a murder last night. Nah, you don't know what that's like, your ass white. Suburban kids trying to beat more street pushing rap, but that's life. My niggas dealing with that heavy shit. Young black males suffer from negligence. And let's not dance around the topic. I mean, the RICO law got they pop locks for some petty shit. Meanwhile, white corporate men evade taxes, embezzlement, they steal money, get caught, go to court, but it's still money that settles it. And y'all been doing this forever, shit, since colonization and settlements. They ask me, is the white man the devil? Well, my God, just look at the evidence. Y'all been in an awful raid since y'all climbed about them caucus caves. Came to the Americas, killed the indigenous people and brought in slaves. Started my culture and gave me that Bible in exchange. I've been both praying to Jesus. I'm praying for change. You praying for change. Our gods are not the same. Hold up. But that's right, Strick. You're not to blame. You're just a descendant of the members that done it. Bullshit. If the tenants built the building, then why the son of the superintendent still benefit from it? Strick has some cool punches, but see, it's the difference with substance. I'm not for that don't shoot hands up shit. I'm the wrong nigga to fuck with. I'm Trayvon, putting hands on a neighborhood watch. I'm Big Mike in the middle of the street, running through the shots. I'm finna fuck the cops. Like a Baltimore team that don't know how to act. And fuck battle rap. I did this for the slaves that got 3-0 by the slave master.
Huh? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how it be, huh? We yelling fuck P.I.G.'s, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with B.R.L.P., huh? Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how it be, huh? We yelling fuck P.I.G.'s, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with B.R.L.P., huh?
I'm from the city where they corner tire pit. Never fuck with they dirty ass ever since I was a kid. Seen him in my community searching, looking for truancy, probing and asking questions. Just so we can be mutiny. Excuse me when I'm under arrest for being detained. What did I catch? You don't need to know my motherfucking name. You better put the fist to you, I don't even exist. And it might not be your best choice to put your hand on my wrist. Cause in my neck of the woods it's already understood. And don't nobody want your dirty ass patrol around the hood. You can bet your bottom dollar was not your ass up by the collar. Let these motherfucking choppers stop your ass for something proper. While you deep in the cul-de-sac, we dwelling amongst the drama. Bitch floating around the hood, this man over a helicopter. We fed up and feeling violent like how it's supposed. Ignited with the power to do away with all the sick and the righteous. Let's go.
Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how it be, huh? We yelling fuck P.I.G.'s, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with B.R.L.P., huh? Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how it be, huh? We yelling fuck P.I.G.'s, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with B.R.L.P., huh?
We yelling fuck the
peers and everybody fuck with them. If you scared of the peers, then you ain't a real hitter. I'm a field nigga. Are you a house nigga? The type to let the peck of wood rape your spouse, nigga? That's out, nigga. Cause everywhere I go, everybody know what's fuck the popo. Fuck 5-0, these peers could die slow. Let's grab the rifle and get ready for woe. We got tires on fire in the middle of the street. Booby traps and buffers, our jungle is concrete. We mob deep like them niggas in Queens. If you tired of police, you need to get with the team. BRLP, known to bang on the beats. They say we extreme, cause we move like a machine. But we never mechanical, we supernatural, magical, galactical panthers getting active.
Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how we be, huh? We yelling fuck PIGs, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with BRLP, huh? Growing up in these streets, huh? Learn not to fuck with police, and it's just how we be, huh? We yelling fuck PIGs, huh? And if you feel how we feel, fuck with BRLP, huh?
Niggas flood and smut the riders when they on Facebook. Catch them slipping at these rallies and they act real shook. 24-7 on the ground, my comrades putting it work. New generation, the Panther organizing the turn. Deal with the brothers on the block, cause we the last ones that they got. Feed the people, bang on cops, political air and break the law. Couple cops for the masses, build community defense. While these boot licking bougie ass niggas ride the fence. Used to was a booster, ain't no half-ends in the movement. I got elders and soldiers, but still dedicated to it. It's a lifetime commitment, black riders gon' represent it. Flipping the tribalism with the OG like the prison. But thanks to General Top, I sympathizing with the block. And nobody gave a fuck, they assassinated Pop. Like they assassinated Malcolm, set him up in Tijuana. But we coming for revenge, and I put that on my mama.
Like they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense, the niggas say they wanna be free. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep it G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. I'ma rise to the day I'm buried, to go out in the burst of flames. My business as a revolutionary, I'm the last of a dying breed. Pray to God I live long enough to teach my seed, fulfilling my legacy. Ride on the enemy, I'm peak when they plot. But they more kept zipping niggas and start to kill on my block. These cowards fake as fuck, they rat you out to the cops. Molly your face, but these niggas got me twisted like locks. We're full of what fake niggas I can't fuck with. Niggas are shady nowadays, so be careful who you run with. Precision shots, only thing my guns fit. Niggas be working for the state, so they can't let so they hit. Not every government agent wears a gun on his hip. Strategically placed cooperatives to roam in the midst. Gotta learn from my mistakes, separate the real from the fake. It's the reason why these bougie try to leave your niggas safe.
Say they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense, the niggas say they wanna be free. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep it G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood to bleed.
You gotta do it with your brother. Look at all that blood you have to bleed. Nobody cares if somebody arrives. Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Black Survival 2017 and Beyond. Broadcasting live every Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by the host and founder, National Minister of Defense of the Black Lives Liberation Party, Minister King Samir Sabaz. This is your brother, now that's born a law, standing in for the National Minister of Defense of the Black Lives Liberation Party. That phone number to call in, family, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the summer and present to others our five-star general of the Black Riders Liberation Party, General Taco Wolverine Shakur. Black Power.
Black power, black power, all power to the people. Can you hear me out there?
Black power, sir, we hear you loud and clear.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Black power, all power to the people. We represent the Black Riders, the new generation, Black Panther Party for self-defense. Much respect goes out to you, Knowledge Born, for giving us this platform once again to help educate and liberate the minds of oppressed black people. To liberate, that goes out to all the comrades listening in. Much respect goes out to all the oppressed black people who listening in. Much respect goes out to our MOD, King Samir, who is being held captured as a political prisoner for banging on the beast, banging on the pig, standing up for the liberation and the salvation of the black nation. Black power, black power. All power to the people. Much respect goes out to Captain Sean Patterson out of Houston for representing the squad in a strong manner. We working on right now pushing Hurricane Harvey relief efforts to help relieve the suffering from the hurricane and the flood that went down last week. And the racist U.S. government once again has neglected to serve our people. The Red Cross has neglected to serve our people. So Black Riders, the new generation, Black Panther Party for self-defense, have come with a way to help do for self, which is our hurricane relief effort. Right now, we're organizing to get water, personal hygiene products, non-perishable food, diapers, baby formula, baby products, new underwear, new socks, clean clothes, back to school uniforms, and cleaning supplies for distribution throughout the city of Houston. Donations can be addressed to the Black Riders Houston chapter, 2428 Southmore Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77004. To support a volunteer, you can call Captain Sean Patterson at 281-896-3656. Black power, black power, all power to the people. Much respect to all those black revolutionaries from different organizations who went down there to help clean up, relieve the suffering of our people. Since we've been in this raggedy, racist country for over 400 years, the demons of white supremacy and capitalism have built their wealth off the pain, the misery, the suffering of our colonized, oppressed black people. And it's time for us as a people to stand up and rise strong and defeat the evils of fascism, defeat the evils of imperialism. Much respect goes out to the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, who moved with Sean Patterson to patrol the hood out there in Houston after there was numerous threats given by racist Trump supporters and other demons of white supremacy. The comrades moved through the streets of Oakland, the streets of Houston, openly armed with AK-47, AR-15, began to patrol the hood of Houston, openly armed, defying the evil pigs who try to stop them from patrolling, checking them on the spot, letting them know that we're going to push our line, letting them know that we're going to exercise our right for self-defense, that we're going to exercise our Second Amendment ability to openly carry guns and bear arms and push a line at the demons. Damn, the tragedy was vicious. There was water everywhere killing our people. There was one black woman who was found dead in the water from being drowned, and her little black baby boy, who was 5 years old, was found dead clinging to her body. And the racist U.S. government was nowhere to be found to help serve and defend our people. We can never expect the criminals, the demons, the racist U.S. government to serve and defend our people. It is up to us to stand strong and do for self and build our communities to liberate from the racist fascist state. Another hurricane is planning to come through and hit Florida. Whether it was a white man-made disaster or a natural disaster, we must be prepared for emergency preparation. We must gather together boats. We must stock up food and non-perishable items in order to survive these vicious disasters. It is up to us as a people to stand strong. Much respect goes out to the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, for standing up to Trump in a racist fascist state, popping off through missiles on a regular, letting the evil demons of U.S. imperialism know that they will not bow down, that they will continue to stand on his grandfather's revolutionary theory of Junchi, which stands for do for self, self-determination, self-defense, and self-reliance. They're becoming so threatened in the racist media now. They're comparing Kim Jong-un to Mao Zedong of China during the 60s when he was pushing for global revolution. It is up to us as a people to follow suit and make sure that the evil foreign pigs are forced to come back to America and leave North Korea alone and deal with us as a people and Black Riders. New Generation Black Panther Party for Self-Defense will be representing the front line, the vanguard of the revolutionary struggle on a worldwide level. That's what we're pushing. Death to white supremacy, death to capitalism, death to imperialism, and death to fascism all day, every day, even on Sunday. What that Black Riders like, though? That's what we're pushing. I'm going to let the comrades get on the speak. The evil demons have been constantly cutting off the radio. But we're going to still push this line. Free King Samir. Free all political prisoners. By any means necessary. Black Rider. That's all I wanted to say. Black power. Black power. All power to the people.
Black power to our five-star generals, Junior Tacos, therefore taking all capitalists out. We're going to hear from our ground force commander, Sergeant Ascari, is in the building. Black power.
All power to the people. Revolutionary greetings. Goes out to all the international revolutionary guerrillas of the world who are in the struggle to wipe imperialism to the sea. Today, I'm going to address y'all comrades from straight from the book. You know, I'm going to read straight from some literature. And the reason why is because, it's important that we understand that for every political action or for every military action, core agenda that governs those military actions. And as a paramilitary formation, we have to understand that our ideology is what protects us and governs the actions that we do. It governs the political work that we interact and activate into the community. So constant political education, constant reading on current events and past revolutions to study a pattern of theses and antitheses as to where our people and revolutionaries across the world have come from in order to know where we're going in the future. So I would urge all the comrades, you know, if y'all tuning in, y'all whip out that pen and the pad. Every time I get on the show, I will be reading something from one of our required reading lists today. I'm going to cover, since we are called from national headquarters and we're a few months out of the anniversary of the original Black Panther Party, we out here in Oakland, California in the field, you know, and usually we carry this, what we call the red book, or the quotations of Mao Zedong in our pockets, you know what I'm saying? We use this as a revolutionary manual that governs our participation in political work, especially in the sense of propagating amongst the people. This particular section that I'm going to read is in Chapter 8. It's called The People's War. I'm going to give y'all a little time. I hope y'all by now have got y'all pen and pads out, and y'all take this seriously as a political education study and the opportunity to add to your arsenal. Because we know, as we'll cover in this section, that all weapons are an extension of the shield and the spear. We understand that ideology not only acts as a spear, but it also acts as a shield, and it's a combination of the two. Y'all with me? All power to the people. So in the section of People's War, Chapter 8, Mao Zedong, leader of the People's Army of China, to give y'all a little back history, right, which we understand that China right now, as well as North Korea and other nations, but China in particular has the largest army in the world, is one of the most respected nations in the world. Marcus Garvey would outline this even back in, during his decade, and we understand this truth still stands still today, and a lot of that, the majority of that reason, is because of the People's Army and the effort on behalf of the people's liberation struggle in China. Now, we can also say that, you know, Fred Hampton stated in an interview, right, he stated that, you know, we never can really define whether a person is a forever revolutionary. But just because one was not a forever revolutionary, that doesn't mean that they were a never revolutionary. Now, at some point, a person can launch a successful liberation struggle because of lack of education, political understanding as to what the political agenda and vantage point is after we eliminate the reactionary forces. They can end up becoming the reactionary forces and imperialists amongst their own people. So, right, going into this reading, says the Revolutionary War, it's a war of the masses. It can be waged only by mobilizing the masses and relying on them. What is the true bastion of iron? It is the masses, the millions upon millions of people who genuinely and sincerely support revolution. That is the real iron bastion, which it is impossible and absolutely impossible for any force on earth to smash. The counter-revolution cannot smash us. On the contrary, we shall smash it, relying millions upon millions of people around the revolutionary government and expanding our revolutionary war. We shall wipe out all counter-revolution and take over the whole world. The richest source of power is to wage war lies in the masses of the people. It is mainly because of the unorganized state of the Chinese, the Japanese, that the Japanese dares to bully us. Now, giving y'all a backdrop, he's applying this to the particular situation dealing with the Chinese and Japanese imperialism setting in into China. But this would apply in all to all reactionary forces. Give y'all a right vantage point. When this defect is remedied, then the Japanese aggressor, like a mad bull crashing into the ring of flames, will be surrounded by hundreds of millions of our people standing upright. The mere sound of their voices will strike terror into them, and they will burn to death. The imperialists are bullying us in such a way that we have to deal with them seriously. Imperialists are bullying us in such a way that they must be dealt with seriously. Not only must we have a powerful regular army, we must also organize contingents of a people's militia on a big scale. Now, to give y'all a backdrop on that, right? So you'll notice he'll refer to the People's Red Army and the Eight Root Army. Now, the People's Red Army was when China was at the very minimal stages of organizing a people's guerrilla army on a very minimal level. And at some point, we know historically that a minimal army at some point, or guerrilla army, is supposed to be advanced into a conventional army. So when he refers to the Eight Root Army, this was at the stage of expanding into a conventional army. But alongside of that conventional army, even then, he advocates the organizing of a militia or people's militia on a large scale. I'm going to continue to reading. This will make it difficult for the imperialists to move a single inch in our country in the event of invasion. Considering the Revolutionary War as a whole, the operations of the People's Guerrilla and those in the main forces of the Red Army complement each other like a man's right arm and left arm. If we had only the main forces of the Red Army without the People's Guerrillas, we would be like a warrior with only one arm. In concrete terms, and especially with regard to the militia operations, when we talk of a people in the base areas as a factor, we mean that we have an armed people. That is the main reason why the enemy is afraid to approach our base areas. Unquestionably, victory or defeat in war is determined mainly by the military, political, economic, and natural conditions on both sides, but not by these alone. It is also determined by each side's subjective ability in directing the war. In his endeavor to win a war, a military strategist cannot overstep the limitations imposed by material conditions. Within these limitations, however, he can and must strive for victory. The stage of action for a military strategist is built upon the objective material conditions, but on the stage, he can direct the performance of many people, a drama full of sound and color, power and grandeur. So what he means by that, right, is we understand that war is like a play. It has scripts. It's already scripted from the beginning. All war, which you'll hear Mao Zedong refer to a lot of the philosophies and quotations from the Art of War written by Art of War teaches us the essence of the Art of War is to win a battle before fighting the battle by properly assessing preconditions that already exist. But one precondition or one thing outside of these conditions that Che Guevara would add is the spirit of the guerrilla. This is something that also can be measured. You know, when we read other literature, we read the most guerrilla literature, one of the first questions and asking what the preconditions of a people's war must consist, the main thing is we must understand that the morality is the true power and strength, the undefinable variable in this war, meaning the righteousness of that war. In order for a people's war to exist, there must be a righteous cause. Because one thing that the state and the reactionaries are different from us, one of the main things, is they're fighting for a check. They're fighting for some monetary means. They're fighting for some instant gratification, whereas to the people and oppressed people of the world are fighting for their livelihood. Power to the people. The object of war is specifically to preserve oneself and destroy the enemy. To destroy the enemy means to disarm him, deprive him of the power to resist, and does not mean to destroy every member of his forces physically. In ancient warfare, the spear and the shield were used, the spear to attack and destroy the enemy, and the shield to defend and preserve oneself. So let's isolate that. When we understand disintegrating your enemy troops does not always apply to an offensive military attack on the enemy. Propaganda is an extension of the spear and the shield. There are numerous different extensions of attacks and launching attacks on the enemy, even countering our enemy's attack. Is an act of attacking the enemy. So in destroying the enemy's troops, this means to drain his resources, to exasperate him economically, to exasperate him militarily. It means to exasperate and obliterate the enemy on all means. Power to the people. In ancient warfare, the spear and the shield were used as the spear to attack and destroy the enemy and the shield to defend and preserve oneself. To present day, all weapons are still an extension of the spear and the shield. The bomber, the machine gun, the long-range gun, the poison gas or developments of the spear. While all of these things, I must add that we're asking to contribute to our hurricane relief in Texas, these are all things that are extensions of the shield because these things help preserve the self. So, but I'll get name from his list. He says, while the air raid shelter, the steel helmet, the concrete fortification, the gas mask are developments of the shield. The tank is a new weapon combining the functions of both spear and shield. I would argue the propaganda is not only a spear that can be launched to attack the state and his propaganda machine, but it also is used as a shield to protect the interests and outline the correct political vantage point of the vanguard so that it creates a barrier of protection provided by the people who are the true iron bastion of the people, or of our people's revolution. Excuse me. Attack is the chief means of destroying the enemy, but defense cannot be dispensed with. An attack, the immediate object, is to destroy the enemy. But at the same time, preservation It is in self-preservation, because if the enemy is not destroyed, you will be destroyed. In defense, the immediate objective is to preserve oneself. But at the same time, defense is a means of supplementing attack or preparing to go over to the attack. Retreat is in the category of defense. I must isolate that. Comrades, you must understand, the retreat is a military tactic. I repeat, retreat is a military tactic. A commander, anyone who commands an army who does not understand the appropriate time to launch and does not understand the appropriate time to retreat, is a leader who will destroy the whole of the interests of the whole entire army. Power to the people. See, where we at right now? Give me a second, comrades. Retreat is in the category of defense, is in a continuation of defense, while pursuit is a continuation of attack. It should be pointed out that destruction of enemy is the primary objective of war, and self-preservation is secondary, because only by destroying the enemy in large numbers can we effectively preserve oneself. Therefore, attack, the chief means of destroying the enemy, is primary, while defense, a supplementary means of destroying the enemy, and the means of self-preservation, is secondary. In actual warfare, the chief role is played by defense much of the time, but by attack for the rest of the time, especially, I must add, in the guerrilla army. 70%, I would even argue 80% of the guerrilla's movements are running, hiding, waiting for the appropriate moment to catch the enemy off guard. You must not view war, a people's war, through the perspective or the lens of a conventional army, of a white man's army, of an oppressive fascist imperialist army, because they do not function the same. They do not function the same. They do not function the same for the reason that each guerrilla's life, each one guerrilla's life, is worth 1,000 conventional soldiers' lives. Power to the people. All guiding principles of military operations go down to the one basic principle: to strive to the utmost, to preserve one's own strength, and destroy that of the enemy. How then do we justify encouragement of heroic sacrifice in war? In light of a lot of things that's happening, we got a lot of lone wolf things that's happening. To a degree, the people are already launching at the state, even in an armed demonstration. A lot of people like to create this environment where armed struggle just is something to come. When armed struggle is happening right now, it's pissed getting got at across the world as we speak, and right here in the U.S., in the United States, right here in our backyard. You dig what I'm saying? And it's important that we have a correct political vantage point on what is heroic sacrifice in war, because sacrificing one's life is only one level of sacrifice. Huey P. Newton would argue the point of revolution. There's only two ways for a revolutionary, a black man, to die, even if he ain't revolutionary, for any black man to die in America, which is reactionary suicide or revolutionary suicide. And added to this, he had a concept of living revolutionary suicide. See, it's one thing to just be ready to martyr out on some shit, right? But if the people don't understand why those actions were necessary, if those political actions are not communicated properly, the struggle for that struggle to exist beyond those particular specific actions, then they become short-lived, and they could also have the effect of lowering the morale of the people. So when we understand the concept of what exactly heroic sacrifice is in war, we must understand that sacrifice can just be an extension of what means you're willing to sacrifice as far as your participation to the people. Your studies for the people. Your training for the people. You know, George Jackson, which Black August just ended, he would say, civilize the mind and make savage the body. Comrades, if y'all out there listen to me, I want comrades who with me behind me, comrades, to say that shit with me. Civilize the mind and make savage the body.
Make savage the body.
Straight like that. Moving on. So it says, how do we justify encouragement of heroic sacrifice of war? Every war exacts a price, sometimes an exemplary high one. Is this not in contradiction with preserving oneself? In fact, there is no contradiction at all. To put it more exactly, sacrifice and self-preservation are both opposite and complementary to each other. That sounds African to me, y'all. For such sacrifice is essential, not only for destroying the enemy, but it also for preserving oneself. Partial and temporary non-preservation, sacrifice, or paying the price is necessary for the sake of general and permanent preservation. Malcolm would say, principles guided by military operations, all of which the principles of shooting, taking cover, and preserving oneself, and making full use of firepower to destroy the enemy. The principles of strategy are permeated with the spirit of this basic principle. All technical principles and all principles concerning tactics, campaigns, and strategy represent applications of this basic principle. The principle of preserving oneself and destroying the enemy is the basis of all military principles. Now, I'm going to stop right there, comrades. I'm going to level with y'all. What's happening in Texas? That shit ain't just happening in Texas. These devils been controlling the environment. They be controlling natural disasters all across the world. Y'all act like y'all ain't see that shit in Haiti. Y'all act like y'all don't know there was an agenda in Haiti. See, one of the things we add to our platform is we understand that the existence of this crooked, foul, cave-dwelling beast is not even only in contradiction with the people of the earth, and not only just one particular people on earth, every people on earth that he's ever had contact with his entire existence on this planet, but the entire planet itself, and maybe the moon, because that motherfucker is colonizing the moon right now as we speak. So when we understand that, we understand the phenomenon of this flood, what's happening out there, the phenomenon with this housing crisis that's happening here in the Bay Area, and what's happening with our people not here, even just in America, but the entire African diaspora is completely connected. And as soon as we see these things as local things that separate them from each other and not see these things as a whole international African liberation struggle, our struggle will be stagnated. So I want to raise comrades to boost to the pavement. I want to see comrades on the street. I already see y'all. I'm very inspired, comrade. Y'all got me turned the fuck up. Right as we speak, I'm finna get out right here and share this energy with the people. Dig that. Feel what I'm saying? Because there's no reason why our people out there should be suffering, and there ain't no response. Because we shouldn't be, right now, at this point, if we didn't see how they reacted with Hurricane Katrina and how they reacted with Haiti, then we already understand the contradiction that they're not going to help our people. So that means that all the fuck we got is us. And I understand that some of our people don't even want the help. You're going to have to pull them kicking and screaming. You're going to have to love Africans more than they hate themselves. Dig that. Now, I love y'all, comrades. This will be my time. I'm pretty much through. But I like to say, all power to the people. One more thing before we go out, I want y'all to repeat this with me from where y'all at. I am a black rider.
I'm a black rider.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I'm a soldier and a member of a team.
I live with revolutionary values.
I live with revolutionary values.
I will never quit.
I will never quit.
I am disciplined physically.
I am disciplined physically.
Mentally tough.
Mentally tough.
Trained and proficient.
Trained and proficient.
In the way of the warrior.
In the way of the warrior.
I always maintain my arms.
I always maintain my arms.
Equipment and self.
Equipment and self.
I stand ready to deploy.
I stand ready to deploy.
Engage and destroy.
Engage and destroy.
The enemies of the party and the people.
The enemies of the party and
for
the
people. For I am a black freedom fighter.
For I am a black freedom fighter.
I'm a black rider.
I'm a black rider.
Power!
Power!
All right, Black Power, Black Power. We're going to hear from National Minister of Public Relations. Edie Ref is in the building. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. Can you hear me, family?
Black Power, hear you loud and clear.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out and a chance to say free our MOD comrade King Samir Shabazz. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, want to give a salute to you, Knowledge Born, for giving us an opportunity to reach, teach the people, you know, an opportunity to get these projects and get this, spit this ism on the line. I want to give a shout out to Chief Theoretician, the leader of the Black Riders, General Taco. I also want to give a shout out to the Ground Force Commander of the Black Riders, Sergeant Ascari, all the comrades on the ground right now. And I also want to give a special shout out to the comrade Sean Patterson out there in Houston, operating Hurricane Harvey Relief. the relief effort, you know what I'm saying, the boots on the ground, serving the people, and, you know, raising consciousness through action of observation and participation, you know what I mean? We got a lot of things going on, man. We really bubbling right now, you know what I'm saying? Trying to put together the foundation for this land project. This land project was kicked off by our comrade Nick Kepler out there in Long Beach. You know, the land project is called Kwabulawayu. Kwabulawayu, the name originates from the Zululand territory, the southeast region of the African continent, like South Africa. This land became a part of the Zulu territory when the Shaka Zulu took over an area called the Ndwande territory. This was the first set up camp that he did when he started his quote unquote conquest. I don't want to call it so called conquest, because what he was really doing was unifying all the warring tribes in that region in a get down and lay down type of fashion, you know. And this project got a lot of historical and cultural relevance and draws a lot of correlation to the situation that we're in right now, because the Black Rider Foundation is the unification of street tribes, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Zulu, specifically the Zulu tribe, is a highly militarized culture. You know, there's the other correlation of, you know, what Conrad just talked about, the spear and the shield, right? You know, the Zulu shield, I mean, excuse me, the Zulu spear, it really ties into a certain element of combat that's just really up close and brutal, you know. And we're not trying to limit it to just that, because, you know, we guerrillas, we hit and run and all of that. But there's a certain element of a psychological warfare when you just have a certain level of audacity to come up in the front. And this type of combat is special, is known in the prison industrial complex. You know what I'm saying? A Zulu spear would equivalent to them big bone crushers, you know what I'm saying, up in the walls. That's what they call them, you know what I'm saying, the bone crusher of the Swahili, you know what I'm saying, the banduki, you know what I mean? This right here is our understanding and our connection, you know what I'm saying, from our foundation to being inside the prison industrial complex, forced as a fascism, you know what I'm saying, being buried alive under concrete and steel, where our Minister of Defense, King Samir Shabazz, is in right now, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people might not understand why we chose Zulu type of culture to name this project after, you know? Why not Kemet? Why not Timbuktu? Why not Yoruba? Well, everybody pretty much know about the Kemet, Timbuktu, and Yoruba, and once we zone out other land plots and other land projects might take that, culture, but we gonna get it with this Zulu, you know what I'm saying? Like we said, there's a highly militaristic culture with a tight-linked operation of chain of command, you know, and this is the same type of way that the Black Riders operate and govern our structure. It's centered around what we call democratic centralism. I'm going to touch on the African roots of the democratic centralism and the rank and file chain of command, the way it was operated and how it correlates to the Zulu culture. Now, many people try to say that, you know, African civilization prior to colonization operated under an autonomous, anarchist-type, decentralized leadership. That's some bullshit. It's some straight-up bullshit. I'm going to call it like I see it. I'm not saying that there wasn't no type of societies like that, but we got to stop looking at things monolithically, subjectively, or one-sided in one way. Africa is the second biggest, I would say the first biggest continent, because Asia's split up, you know, but this is a big-ass continent, man. Just because one place did things one way don't mean the whole entire continent did it the same way, You know what I'm saying? And there was stages of how that even came into existence in the first place. But let's speak dialectical materialism, man. I'm going to just keep it straight playing with y'all, even though I hope I'm not going over your heads. But if I am, you know what I'm saying, I might want to research and you know what I'm saying, look up the definition of some of these terms, you know? So the way Africans are governing their society, you know, it's in constant transformation. It goes from various stages. And our situation, specifically in the African continent, is unique. You can't just define it in European terms, even though this is the language that we happen to be speaking in. You know, we're still trying to dissect this, you know. The oldest political economic structure known to man is known as communalism. Karl Marx, the philosopher, white boy, you know what I'm saying, that created the philosophy of communism, he called communalism primitive communism. But we're going to call it original communism. Because we ain't fucking with Darwin eugenics terminology. Like I said, we ain't fucking with that. But you understand that climate change, technology, and a relationship between human beings and nature and the means of production, there is a process of evolution that creates certain type of development in society. Now walk with me now. Check me out, though. It's like check me out. Hold on. Y'all gonna get this ism today, man, on the real, though. Yeah, you had things like hunter-gathering societies, right? And when resources got scarce, there was a change in how that operated. See, before then, it was all egalitarian, meaning that everybody had an equal share of everything and all of that, you know? There wasn't no domination between of one group over another group or things like that. But like I said, things changed. There was an element of what we call feudalism, which introduced somewhat of a sense of privatization of the land, right? That was the feudalism stage. Now, what we call social stratification in pre-colonial Africa, it was centered around a division of labor. You feel me? We're talking about social stratification, and we're talking about a division of labor. So basically, let me break it down. If your skill or trade had a high demand, you know what I'm saying? If what you was good at was rare and it wasn't a whole lot of people doing what you doing, of course you're gonna have a higher level of responsibility, you're gonna have a higher level of workload. So therefore you're gonna have more say so than the rest of the common people who are all doing the same thing. But the division of labor still works in harmony. Because if you fishing, you need to trade with somebody who's not fishing and have a resource or access to something that you don't have, a skill that you don't have. So there was a harmony within the division of labor. There wasn't no competition like in the capitalistic culture that we're under right now, you know? So, of course, you're going to have more say-so. This is what the social stratification was, you know? And the decision-making in the village or the commune, it was centered around what was called administrative centralism. Administrative centralism. Now, we argue that this is the African roots of democratic centralism, with an accurate right to passage system that one had to go through even to become an elder in the first place. To become an elder, you have to become an elder to become a part of any council of elders. So, yeah, I gotta put it out there. Nigga, age don't make you an elder. You have to go through a certain rites of passage. You have to make a certain type of sacrifice. So with say-so, you can't have no say-so if you didn't make no sacrifice. If you ain't understanding that, you better read African Intercommunalism 2. Or you better read Chancellor Williams, or Destruction of Black Civilization. So what I'm trying to say is we instill in the principles of leadership, you know what I'm saying, without the Eurocentric bourgeois monarchy hierarchy type of things. When we're talking about what we call African royalty, is extreme loyalty. African royalty, my bad, is extreme loyalty. We're talking about an upside down pyramid, man. Whoever makes the sacrifice has to say so. The people who wanted to bust the chain of command and the leadership, that's what gave rise to all the anarchy. That's what eroded the structure of our African civilization and made it easier for the European invader to destroy us. That anarchism, decentralized leadership bullshit is what led to the destruction of our, not only, but it was a big part of the destruction of the African civilization of Timbuktu, Mali, Ghana, the Zulu Empire, Kemet, the Upper and Lower Egypt. I could go on and on. Based off of the studies of the of pre-colonial Africa by Sheikh Anta Diop, based off of the studies of the destruction of black civilization from Chancellor Williams, and I could go on and on. Don't debate me, nigga. Debate my scholars, nigga. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is people got a misunderstanding. They try to, like, if they watch the documentary on about Zulu, about Shaka Zulu, they'll make it seem like he was just a tyrannical dictator. Well, every person who was a leader in opposition to the status quo of the American culture was considered a dictator. You know what I'm saying? It was considered somebody tyrannical because he had organized people by hook or by crook. You know what I'm saying? It was get down or lay down. And we're going to have the same type of mentality dealing with our own people. Because, you know what I'm saying, after being enslaved for so long, it's hard for us to understand anything else. But another reason why we chose Zulu, you know what I'm saying, because of the psychological war that was waged on the colonizers, perfected by the Zulu nation, by the Zulu land. You know, when we're in formation, what we say? We be like, let them hear you coming. Zulu style is the spirit of the audacity, the animosity of the above ground armed self-defense mechanism and the formation and the structure of the Black Riders Liberation Party. You know what I'm saying? This is the element. It still has somewhat of an element of surprise because the beast underestimates us. He underestimates our organizing capabilities after dropping the crack bomb on us, after the Willie Lynch, after the COINTELPRO. You don't think it's even possible for us to even unify. So just to hear us marching around the corner, it terrifies them. It mortifies them. It makes them shake in their fake-ass utility boots and their utility belts. They shake and they damn near commit suicide later on because they thought that they destroyed us and they failed. So we're using the same tactics with different measures and different applications, evolving techniques in our specific generation that Shaka Zulu did, man. We season land to unify us. We unify in the street tribes. We developing the unification of Panther formations and the Panther Federation. You know what I'm saying? The Panther, and we pushing a hard line about it, man. It's hook or by crook, man. You know what I'm saying? Unify or die. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to leave y'all with. You know what I'm saying? Support the Kwabulawayo Land Project. You can Google that. This is how you spell Kwabulawayo. It's Kwabulawayo. Landprojects. The Kwabulawayo Land Project. This is by my comrade, Makepawa, out of Long Beach, man. We got an account set up. I would just tell you to look it up. Google the Kwabulawayo Land Project. You know what I'm saying? We've been posting it on Facebook. Check it out, family, because we got to, you know what I'm saying, we got to create something to really struggle behind. The ground force commander had already broke down the practicality of why it's important. I just wanted to panther back and give the cultural historical analysis so we can have, you know, a concrete analysis of concrete conditions that's surrounding our situation. That's all I want to say. I want to say black power and all parts of the people, death to imperialism, death to white supremacy, and death to fascism. Power.
All right, Black Power. That phone number to call in, 515-605-9360. Again, 515 605-936-0. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. We're going to take a quick two-song music break, and then we're going to go back to the phone lines again, family. And we're on Live Black Survival 2017 and beyond. Broadcasting live every Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We as black people need to unite. We need to get together as soon as possible. We're being smoked and killed by these pigs every single day. Driving while I'm black, walking while I'm black, breathing while I'm black. They gun them down in the street.
Fresh boots for the new recruits. I raise an arm and a salute as I address the troops. They say black riders is extreme, that's how we gotta move. I tell the truth, we've been betrayed, so now we sucker proof. Niggas hating cause we do it like no other do. They throwing shade, we still shining like the month of June. Let these suckers speculate while we keep making moves. We pace across the nation, drop power states. Our number twos bring terror to the state, cause we propagating in the booth. Asthmatic with the flow and spreading like the flu. We military campaign on the track. Most of the niggas in the game seeking fame and they rap. Guess the grain breaks psychological chains with these facts. They can move on these haters, launch a counterattack. Learn the lessons from the past, so we sticking with the jab. Keep these suckers at a distance while we execute the task.
We must pick up the gun and aim it in the right direction. For far too long, we as black people have been tricked, bamboozled, and manipulated by the evil racist demons who run this country, who run the United States of America. These demons have caused massacres and mass amount of slavery. Back in the days on the plantation, the most rebellious leader will be drugged in front of the plantation. All slaves will be brought out the hut. We as black people have been bust upside the head, drugged from Africa, and forced in chains to pick cotton for these bust-ass demons. Time for us to get together and unite.
This rap is revolutionary African propaganda scattered throughout the entire planet. Communication device like antennas and satellites. Every time I grab the mic and recite what I write, it's like lyrical spirituals of enslaved ancestors round the campfire plotting how to defeat the oppressor. Real youth, we're the root of the revolution. We need wealth redistribution to control our institutions. We're ruthless, rebellious warriors, black riders. The spirit of Tupac is inside us, it's thug life. I represent the resurrection of insurrection. It's time to criticize the unjust with the weapon.
He will be brutally assassinated for rebellious activity in order to instill fear into our people. For far too long, generation after generation, we have been instilled with this fear. We have been instilled with this cowardice. Now it's time for us to stand up and get together and represent black power every hour. We represent the Black Rock, which is the new generation Black Panther Party for self-defense. We recognize the old generation, the old Black Panther Party, got brutally assassinated by the evil demons. COINTELPRO and J. Gay Edgar Hoover. He pushed in the crack cocaine, had Hewitt and everybody smoking dope. Now we recognize what's going on. Now we see that you manipulated us and pumped guns into our community. And smuggled these things into the black community to confuse us, to trick us, and to banging on each other. Now we aware, we are conscious. We recreated the Black Panther Party because it was a need to retaliate on the evil demons. On this mic, you're gonna hear today, Comrade, Minister of Public Relations, ERF, to get at y'all, to make y'all understand what needs to be understood. This is Sergeant Scar, our ground force commander. He coming through banging on y'all, letting y'all know the truth, busting you aside the head and breaking falsehood open.
Excuse me. I made an oath to avenge my ancestors. God bless me with the strength to use my wisdom as a weapon. Listening, learning, observing, this picture perfect. Burning hot as a furnace, deserving to use the thermostat. You heard of that? Hell no, nah, I ain't a know-it-all. Fuck showing off, I follow a strict protocol. Politics, philosophy, alien ideology, liberation, theology. We fulfilling the prophecy. Revolution. revolution, my religion, nigga, fuck the system, playing my position, nothing matters but the mission. I'm with it, I'm committed, every second, every minute. I do it for my niggas incarcerated in prison. Break your vow, chain of command. If you ain't been where we been, you probably won't understand. Battle tested, born to the flames of state profession. And this is what the Black Riders pledge. Check it
out. Solemnly swear to keep it jiggy at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, if I should forget the mission, leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say this deadly so we never lose the way. I say, every morning try to wake up with the sun. Makes a lot if they connect to the one. To the lie, to the city, get Oakland and make it run. We ain't talk about no drugs propagating. We believe in the generation fun. When it's uniform, so people don't just label us as love. But don't get it twisted. Niggas on the block, they show us love. Muslim, Jews, and Christians want traditional religion. Either ain't committed to the building shit that we be spitting. They fold a contradiction like Contra war intervention. Cause war was an extension of why niggas filled the prison. My only sin is the skin that I'm living in. Never mind that I'm in the sin with ambitions and killing shit. They might indict us with a thought crime for rhyming. Building cases cause the music is politically defined. But sure as the sun rises in the east the next day, God willing, I wake up and get another chance to say that. I solemnly swear to keep it jiggy at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, if I should forget the mission, leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say, grounded in principle, guided in ideology. It's party policy, but one that possesses them so properly. Respect and honesty, treat the community responsibly. Propagate the capitalism while we can poverty. Discipline and diplomacy, go to war to obtain peace. International guerrillas focus on the same thing. Ain't nothing new, people fighting God for freedom by any means. We need the people's army. Never corrupt with mental police. My energy is focused and that so can't control me. And allows individuals based off of they approach me. To each his own path. We all believe what we believe. Lots of people got positions on what freedom really means. Niggas speak on liberation but they got no blood to bleed. But every day I see my death as a possibility. I solemnly swear to keep it jiggy at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, if I should forget the mission, leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Stay the deadly so we never lose the way. I say,
when your time comes to die for black and oppressed people, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death. Sing your song and die like a hero going home. I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a servant of the people.
I am a servant of the people.
And live with revolutionary values.
And live with revolutionary values.
I will always place the mission first.
I am disciplined physically.
Mentally tough.
Trained to proficient.
In the way of the warrior. I always maintain my arms.
Equipment and self.
I stand ready to deploy.
Engage and destroy.
The enemies of the party and the people.
I am a black freedom fighter.
I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
Power.